Thanks for joining us today to hear our latest Hope Central podcast. We trust this message will help you know more about Jesus and inspire you to be more like him.
Thanks, guys. It's wonderful, isn't it? I love dedicating children. It's a wonderful thing. I hope I always get to do that. We're going to be talking about the beauty of Jesus all this month. Sorry, my voice is a little bit croaky. And as we've been thinking about different topics about the beauty of Jesus for this month, I really wanted to spend some time talking about this idea that Jesus is beautiful because he was full of grace and truth. Just as we dedicated that little trinity there, that we know if you've been a parent or you've worked with children, that it's sometimes very hard to be full of grace and full of truth at the same time, isn't it? That sometimes you just want to scare them, spank them, correct them, strangle them. Sometimes you are so frustrated that you run completely out of grace and you just want to give them a bucket load of truth. And other times you look at them and your heart is stirred and you're just so sympathetic and so loving and so just in love with them, and you just don't want to be harsh with them. You don't want to be strict with them. You just want to give them, I'm a grandparent now. It's tell you what, we're heavy in the grace, not much truth, right? As the kids come over and play with us, I would let them get away with anything, almost. And I think it's difficult to strike that balance, because we all know the ickiness, the uncomfortable ickiness of grace that is too graceful and truth that is too truthful. Maybe you've had a friend like that they're always happy to tell you what's wrong with you, right? And then maybe you've had other friends that just kind of think that there's nothing wrong and everything's perfect and don't talk about it, don't go there. And there's both the uncomfortable of grace that's too graceful and truth that's too truthful. And we find in the world that people seem to fall into one or the other camp. We're never both perfectly, never both equally. I was thinking about the idea of grace that's too graceful. And in the 60s and the 70s, we had all of these sort of peace and love and hippie stuff talk about how basically everybody should just get along. And there's nothing wrong. And everybody's right. It doesn't matter what you think. You're right. Congratulations. You've arrived at the truth. And there is no reason for division. And everybody should just get along. But that, of course, is just too much grace. Because the reality is peace comes at a very heavy price. And to have people like, the Lennons sing about, all we are saying is give peace a chance, it's not some new revelation that peace is a good idea. It's just they underestimate the high cost of peace. Peace is a very expensive thing to come by. And then, of course, people were so frustrated by their lack of integrity that somebody murdered John Lennon over this. He said that it can just be easy, it can just be graceful, it can just be okay. And the reality says, well, then why are you taking so much for yourself? And somebody went and murdered him for that idea. But then, of course, there's other people in the world today that are just too truthful. And my favorite is the climate campaigner Greta Thunberg. She comes up with such loving statements as this: I don't want you to be hopeful. I want you to panic. I want you to feel the fear I feel every day. I want you to act. I want you to act like you would in a crisis. I want you to act like your house is on fire, because it is, with the accent. And if I was a environmental campaigner, I would probably feel sad every day. Like I never did enough. I never tried hard enough. And then I have the whip of Greta Thunberg behind me, driving me on. Try harder, try harder, try harder. Of course, she said loving things like this too. The eyes of all the future generations are upon you. Sorry, I didn't mean to go Nazi on you. The eyes of all future generations are upon you. And if you will choose to fail us, we will never forgive you. There's just something uncomfortable about it. Does that bring out the best in you? It just doesn't change us. It doesn't help us. So you can have grace that's too graceful, and you can have truth that's too truthful. And both of those things are so important, but why can't we ever find the balance? In fact, it's one of the things that I find that people seem to complain about in the teaching of Jesus more than any other. The fact that he is perceived as far too graceful. One time, Peter came to Jesus and asked him about the idea of forgiveness and said, Peter came and said to him, Lord, how often shall my brother sin against me and I forgive him? As many as seven times? Jesus said to him, I say not to you seven times, but 77 times. Or 70 times seven. So, but I don't think that Jesus' meaning count exactly to 490 times, and then the 491st, pull out your gun and finish him off. He's not talking about a limit. He's actually talking about unlimited forgiveness. And most of the people, when I talk to them about that, if you combine it with other statements like this, when Jesus is talking about love for people, he says, you have heard that it was said, an eye for an eye and a tooth for a tooth, but I say to you, do not resist one who is evil. If anyone slaps you on the right cheek, turn to him the other also. If anyone would say, sue you and take your tunic, let him have your cloak as well. If anyone forces you to go 1 mile, go with him 2 miles. Give to the one who begs from you and do not refuse the one who would borrow from you. I just finished, I know this is a complicated long story, but I just finished a series, a 3-week series teaching on grace to young leaders across the CRC, across Australia. They did this online course, and I was meant to be speaking on it in May. I had it all scheduled in there, but then because of ill health, I had to kind of throw it together and do this course during the month in February. And so I got this group of, you know, like 25, 30 young people that I'm teaching, and teaching them on grace. And every time I talk about grace, I always come to this problem. People say, what do you do with the people who are happy to hurt you? Are you supposed to keep turning the other cheek to somebody who slaps you? Are you supposed to keep handing out tunics to those who are happy to take the clothes off your back? Are you supposed to just keep forgiving those people who keep hurting you? And so people are saying, but there must be a moment where grace can run out, where you don't have to be graceful anymore. And you can say, enough is enough, and draw the line in the sand and say, no, if you take another step towards me, if you hurt me again, that is it, I'm done. Because that is the truth. Now, is that what Jesus taught? Or is Jesus actually teaching this for our freedom because we always want to conserve grace and say that's enough? And of course, then everybody draws the line at different places. How much grace is enough? How can you ever balance grace and truth? Is Jesus just sort of this hippie God? I mean, take the idea of forgiveness into God's throne room, into his courts. If you ask the average person, do they think that they are going to go to heaven? Most people think that they will. They'll transcend into the otherly realm, wherever that is. Because they think that God is just so forgiving and just so loving and it just doesn't matter and that God will forgive everything and anything and it just doesn't matter. And if you believed in this or believed in that or believed in anything, it just doesn't matter. Heaven is just populated with anyone who wants to be there. And hell is where the cool people are. But that's not true. Is it true that God is all forgiving? Absolutely. But he is forgiving in Christ. He is forgiving all. Because in Christ, all truth is accounted for. All justice is given. In Christ, the equation is balanced. Because Jesus gave himself for the forgiveness of all. So, I was reading this book. I'll just keep it there for a sec so you don't read my quote before I wanted to read the quote. You all, so if you've been around church for a little while, you know how obsessed I am with G.K. Chesterton right now. Everybody said, hurrah! G.K. Chesterton, in his book Orthodoxy, talks about how he came to faith. And he was raised a Catholic and died a Catholic too. But as he was going through his faith, he became a complete agnostic, completely disbelieved in God, did not believe in the evidence for Christianity, did not care at all what the Bible said, and was just pursuing his intellectual life. But the idea is he just couldn't come up with them. So he began to dig into atheist teaching, agnostic teaching, the scholars of his age that were going to disprove for him Christianity. And he said those people were the ones who convinced him about Christianity the most. All of the people trying to disprove Jesus and disprove the gospel became the evidence for him to believe. And here's part of that journey. So he says, in comparison, It did seem tenable that there was something weak and overpatient about Christian councils. So what he's saying is, the books he was reading, he's saying Christians are too weak, they're too graceful, they're too forgiving. He said the gospel paradox about the other cheek, the fact that the priests never fought, and 100 other things made it plausible the accusation that Christianity was an attempt to make a man too like a sheep. I read it, and I would have believed it, and I would have gone on believing it, but I read something very different. I turned to the next page in my agnostic manual, and my brain turned upside down. Now I found that I was to hate Christianity not for fighting too little, but for fighting too much. Christianity, it seemed, was the mother of all wars. See, when he's saying he looked into the critics of Christianity, and some of them criticized as the worst thing ever that this church idea and this Jesus idea of forgiveness and kindness and love, it's ruined the world. We need to be tougher. And then different people who hated Christianity condemned Christianity because it's made people fight. It caused all of the wars, all of the religious wars in history are all because of Jesus and Christians. So Chesterton's like, so Christianity is both too nice and too strict? It's both too graceful and too truthful? How can something that is this amazing, he said, not be true then? And so he sought and found Jesus. And so the question, is Jesus meek and mild? In Matthew 21, we have this fantastic story of Jesus really getting up to his neck with truthfulness. And see, he entered the temple and he drove out all who sold and bought in the temple. And he overturned the tables of the money changers and the seats of those who sold pigeons. And he said to them, it is written, my house shall be called a house of prayer, but you've made it into a den of robbers. And the blind and the lame came to him in the temple and he healed them. I love this story. I mean, this idea that you have, that we have in our mind, that Jesus is just so kind, just so sweet, that he just kind of skips through the wilderness of this world and plucks flowers and hangs out with hippies and just is super nice, super sweet, super kind. And he would never, never hurt a butterfly or a fly, any kind of flying insect. He would never hurt them because he's just so super kind until Jesus walks into the temple and starts kicking people around. He's got a big whip that he made, and he's just snapping it around, and people are running for like, woo-hoo-hoo-hoo, Jesus is here. And not content to just drive the people out, he tips over their tables too. Take that, tables. I really turned the tables on you, didn't I? No. I love the detail. He even kicks over the stools of those who sold birds. They didn't have tables, they just had stools, so he kicked those over. All things standing up are going to lie down by the time I'm done. Is that somebody who just overlooks things? Is that somebody who says it doesn't matter when wrong is happening? No, he's angry. And then I love it, just to prove his point, he heals everybody who's sick. Ha. Because I didn't like that either. Said to the Pharisees, woe to you, scribes and Pharisees, hypocrites. Jesus, hang on there, Jesus. You can hurt people's feelings. For you shut the kingdom of heaven in people's faces. You neither enter yourselves nor allow those who would enter to go in. Woe to you, scribes and Pharisees, hypocrites. You travel across the sea to the land to make a single proselyte, which, if you speak Star Wars, means Padawan. So, and when he becomes a Padawan learner, you make him twice as much a child of hell as yourselves. Isn't that nice? Isn't that you know, Jesus at the Thanksgiving day. Oh, sorry, you don't do that one here. You know, Jesus around the Christmas meal. You got the uncle there. There was just like, yeah. And Jesus is like, hypocrite. Sorry, Jesus, did you say something? Yes, hypocrite. Jesus, that's not nice. You shouldn't say that. You're a hypocrite too. Oh, and you that didn't say anything? Hypocrite. Like, is Jesus super graceful? Well, absolutely, yes, he is. But is he also super truthful? Yes, he absolutely is. So when they talk about Jesus, this is part of his glory. This is part of his beauty. This is part of the perfect picture of Jesus. The Word became flesh and dwelt among us, and we have seen his glory, glory as of the only Son from the Father, full of grace and truth. Full. Full of grace and truth. He has the perfect balance. And the only way to perfectly balance is that he has to overload both sides. You see, we think of balancing something as though you must take less of something so that equal something that's on the other side. And Jesus thinks, no, no, in order to balance this equation, we have to add more of something to each side. And then when you think that's enough, there needs to be more added there, and then 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 more added there, because Jesus says you don't get less of something, you need more of something. Jesus never sought to balance grace and truth. You know, somebody once said to me, you know, this was when I was back in Bible college, and they were trying to teach us how to be nice. Because, you know, a bunch of, you know, religious zealots going to Bible college does not make for a comfortable thing. And so they said, you need to have not too much grace as to be untruthful. Sorry, typo. Not too much grace as to not be truthful, and not too much truth as to not be graceful. Trying to make us polite people. Can I say this to you? There is no glory in that. What you needed was to have more grace and more truth. You see, Jesus practiced grace and truth as an extreme sport. Just when you thought that grace is exhausted, there was more. And then when you thought that is just so offensive, he went even farther. And then when he was balancing what he was doing, truth, he didn't just go the truth a little bit. Jesus went the truth and then some more. Not just what you asked, but what you really needed to hear. See, he had so much grace as to offend your sensibilities. And people were saying, how dare you be so kind to the evil people? They were people in Jesus' world who were spitting anger at Jesus because he was too nice to bad people. How dare you invite those people to your house? And he had so much truth as to offend our decorum by saying, how dare you call me evil? But he was graceful enough to invite the evil into his house and truthful enough to call him evil. He didn't just say you're bad. He said you're evil. Because evil is the truth. And good or bad is something that you try to be kind to somebody. You see, Jesus was extreme on both ends. He was extreme in his invitation to the worst of mankind. And he was extreme in his correction to the worst of mankind. So the truth that nobody else laid bare is things like this. Jesus said, he said to them, why do you call me good? No one is good except God alone. Recently, I was at the Salisbury outreach. They have an outreach on Friday nights with some other churches in the Salisbury area where they feed people, mostly people who are struggling with homelessness, mental health, addiction, things like that, and are need a place to be. So they've got about 100 of them a week now, Pastor Rad says. And they're all hearing the gospel and getting some worship. People are praying for them and loving them and caring for them. So I went, Jody and I went just before Christmas and sat down next to this guy who was pretty strung out. And he'd been a long-time drug user. And I said, hey, how are you going? And we talked about stuff. And he was saying he couldn't eat because he was, you know, he had been diagnosed with cancer. And he was really unwell. And he was only 28 years old. And I said, what's going on? What's happening for you? And he's like, oh, I'm trying to get a couple of dollars together so I can buy a Christmas gift for my two children, which he fathered when he was 13 years old. And his life is a story of mistake after mistake. And I'm sure he got a bad start. I'm not trying to be mean to him. There's all this trouble. But he kept saying to me was, he says, I'm basically good down deep. I'm basically good. I'm basically a good person. And I had the rudeness to say to him, no, you're not. You're actually evil. Because he needed to know the truth. Because he needed to be saved. He needed to be saved. He needed to be changed. And Jesus said, you should not call yourself good. Only God is good. The rest of us are evil. Well, not Jesus. But he saves evil people. That's what Jesus does. And so he says, as it is written, no one is righteous, no, not one. No one understands. No one seeks God. All have turned aside. Together they have become worthless. No one does good, not even one. You put that on a Christmas card. You know, someone's feeling down, send that to them. You see, what the problem is, perhaps, is that we have just tried to be balancing grace and truth, and we're just trying to say something nice to people, but nice doesn't help. Not when people need to know, I need a miracle. I just don't need a patch. I don't need a Band-Aid on my life. I need a resurrection. I need to change. And so the Bible tells us the truth. We are not good. We are bad. Basically, we're bad people. But Jesus dies for bad people. Because that's the grace side. It says, Jesus heard it, he said to them, those who are well have no need for a physician, but those who are sick, I came not to call the righteous, but sinners. Jesus' message is a message of grace, deeply embedded in truth to say, you are not righteous, you are a sinner. But he said it so that you could know his grace to be saved. He says, I'm not here for good people. People who are sick go to the doctor. People who are not sick do not go to the doctor. I'm here to tell you, you're sick. You need this. You need grace to be saved. You need a savior. It says in Romans chapter 5, for while we were still weak, at the right time, Christ died for the ungodly. For one will scarcely die for a righteous person, though perhaps for a good person one would dare even to die. But God shows his love for us in that we were still sinners, Christ died for us. You see, while we were sinners, while we were enemies of the cross, while we were enemies of God, Jesus died for us. Because Jesus is not dying for good people, Jesus is dying for bad people. And good people never die for bad people, but this is the gospel. It is full of grace and truth. Truthful enough to tell you need a savior, and graceful enough to be the savior to you. So Jesus gives us more truth because it is given in grace. And truth gives more grace because it recognizes truth. So when these people say to me, listen, so I was on this online seminar, remember I was telling you, and all these young people are asking similar questions. But one person said, what if you've got a person in your life that constantly does the wrong thing and you can't get away from them, right? You can't, they're part of my family. They'll always be in my life. How do I deal with somebody like that? What am I supposed to do with them? They're happy to hurt me and that kind of stuff. And I'm like, and I said, well, this is the thing that most people don't understand, is that grace actually gives more truth than non-grace. Meaning, if somebody is offensive, you're supposed to tell them they're offensive. So listen, this could be really good advice for you. If there are people in your life that are constantly doing the wrong thing to you, then you need to know this. They're probably doing it to other people as well. And if they're doing it to other people, they're probably losing friends and losing close community and losing opportunity and losing life and losing in their lives. But those other people that they're offending don't care about them like you do. So you need to tell them, hey, you're pretty mean. Hey, you should stop doing that. It's hurting. You see, this is the weird thing. Is we think that grace somehow withholds truth. But no, actually grace gives more truth because we love the person. We care about how it's happening in life. We care about the consequences of their behavior. I say, I know that you smacked me on this one cheek, but I'm going to let you know, if you live a life of smacking people on cheeks, you're going to lose all of your friends. And I'm the only one who cares enough to tell you this while you smack me again. And see, Jesus said, if your brother sins against you, go to him and tell him his fault between you and him alone. If he listens to you, hey, great, you won your brother. but he does not listen, take one of the other two brothers along with you, that every charge may be established by the evidence or two or three witnesses. And if he refuses to listen to them, tell it to the church. If he refuses to listen even to the church, let him be to you as a Gentile and a tax collector. You see, Jesus says, if somebody is offensive, and this is in the same passage as Jesus is talking about forgiveness, he says, you have to forgive because forgiveness is for your sake. There's no point in carrying around a life full of unforgiveness, hurt and pain and abuse that other people have hurt you with. You forgive for your sake, but with the other person's sake, you need to tell them. You need to say something to them. You need to give them grace and say, you know what? I'm here today because I want to let you know that if you keep going down this path, we will end up not being friends. And if your person goes, oh, I'm sorry, I didn't know I was hurting you, that's great. But if they still don't listen, then you take somebody else, because sometimes people think it's just a matter of perspective. No, that was fair what I did. That was okay what I said. But when you bring other people in, they say, no, actually, you shouldn't be doing that. That really hurts people. But you see, the purpose is to win the person. We and the other person, we're giving truth because we have grace for people. Jesus is like that as well. He is always confronting us with truth because he loves us. Not because he's trying to make us feel bad. He's not torturing us in our sins, because he is also aware that he has the power to help us. When Jesus convicts us, it's not so that we perfect ourselves, but so that we go to him so that he can change us. That's why Jesus says, judge not that you not be judged. It's with the judgment you pronounce, you will be judged. With the measure that you use, it will be measured to you. Why do you see the stick in your brother's eye and you don't notice the log that's in your own eye? How can you say to your brother, hey, let me be your optometrist and take the speck out of your eye, when there's a log in your own eye? Never ever go to optometrists who have stuff in their eyes. Never. Okay, you hypocrites, first take the log out of your own eye, and then you'll see clearly to take the speck out of your brother's eye. And this is the beautiful thing. Listen to me. Are you listening? Are you sure? I want to tell you the truth. You're probably not listening enough. Then you say, how nice of you to say that. Yeah, yes, you're probably not listening enough. It is the experience of having imperfection removed from our lives that makes us so kind and gentle when we do it to others. If you are the kind of person who is always, what's wrong with you? I've never been bad, then you can never help anybody. But if you're the kind of person who goes, well, I know what it's like to struggle. I know what it's like to fail. I know what it's like to have that problem. I know what that's like. Then you're the exact kind of person to help someone else grow. Because the measure that was measured to you, kindness, love, grace, patience, all of that that you needed to change, you understand that other people need that to change. You see, that's what makes Jesus so perfect and so beautiful, is that Jesus never comes down on us for not being good enough. He goes below us and lifts us up. Because he understands what it's like to be weak. He knows what it's like to go through trials. He knows what it's like to be tempted. He knows what it's like to be hurt. And so he goes beneath us and says, I love you enough to tell you that something's not right, but I'm graceful enough to stay with you while we get out of this. I won't reject you, but I won't tell you that you're okay. You know, the Gospel of John says, the message that we have heard from him, 1 John, proclaim to you that God is light, in him is no darkness at all. If we say that we have fellowship with him while we walk in darkness, we lie and do not practice the truth. But if we walk in the light as he is in the light, we have fellowship with one another, and the blood of Jesus, his son, cleanses us from all sin. If we say that we have no sin, we deceive ourselves, and the truth is not in us. If we confess our sins, he's faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. If we say we have not sinned, we make him out to be a liar, and his word is not in us. You see, the thing that people avoid God over is because you avoid God because you think he'll point out what's wrong. But that's how you get to be close to him, you've got to be in the light to see what's wrong. But then you think that the light would reject you. All of that scrutiny, all of that truth, all of that awareness would somehow push you out and make you look like you don't belong. But you see, that's where the blood of Jesus changes everything. Because the blood of Jesus covers our sin while we stand in his light. But it also is the covering that makes us able to have fellowship with one another. So, can I just say this in a very confronting and graceless way? That maybe the reason that you struggle to be friends with other people is because you're not very authentic. Because you're afraid of being authentic. You're afraid of letting your weaknesses show. And because you don't show your weaknesses, other people don't show you their weaknesses, and then you don't have any fellowship. You see, it starts with our relationship with God, where we're happy to let God see into us, and we are okay, because we believe in grace. But when we let others see into us, it's also a way of showing grace, not covering up and then excluding. So can I challenge you with this today? Are you trying to balance grace and truth? Don't. Be extremely graceful and be extraordinarily truthful, because it's only in the extremes that you find the beauty, not in trying to minimize both. Let's pray together. Our Father, we're so grateful for Jesus, because Jesus is what we could never be, is who that we could never understand without your help. But he comes to us in a way that is both graceful and truthful, and is here with us now through his Holy Spirit. So we're praying, Father, for that light to shine in our lives right now. Lord, as we spend time with you in this moment, as we have through worship, in our prayers, in our time of listening to your word, Lord, you've been here with us, opening us up, but never to force us out of relationship with you, but instead to draw us closer to you. So I pray, Father, that you would help us in this moment to embrace the beauty of Jesus, to take all of the grace of Jesus and all of the truth of Jesus, to know that we are evil and bad people, but that you love us, that you love the evil, you love the sinner, that you love us, and that you have enough grace to save us. I'm just asking you right now, just while your heart is open to the Lord, do you need to be saved? You might have felt that your sins have excluded you forever, or you feel like you have to get yourself better before you can ask Jesus for help. But today you're understanding the good news, the gospel, that Jesus loves you as you are, and he wants to come into your life and transform you. The things in your life that you've struggled constantly for change, wanting to be a better person, but have found yourself unable, you need Jesus. That's what it shows you, that you need Jesus. And he will reveal to you even more things that are broken inside of you, but he will do it while he's loving you, while he's embracing you. So why don't you open up your heart to Jesus right now and receive him? Say, Jesus, I'm grateful and thankful that you died on the cross to save me, that you paid for my sin, that you give me such a huge amount of grace. I just open myself to you, and I ask you to come into my heart today. I receive you, and I receive God, your Father, as my Father. And through the receiving of you, Lord, I know that I'm your child, and will always be treated with grace and truth. And Lord, for all of us who need to be more bold either in grace or bolder in truth, Lord, we pray that you would help us to truly care about this world that we live in, that we wouldn't keep our mouths shut because we think it's impolite, but we would be careful, but say the truth in love and say it in a way that brings people love and kindness and helps them and heals them. Lord, for all of those people in our lives that challenge us and we really look at them as takers, Lord, that we would care about where they've come to. We would care about the problems that they make, and that we would be faithful to correct them, to love them, and to help them as they transition and change in your grace. Lord, we pray that you would give us confidence also in truth, Lord, so that we would speak up, Lord, speak up the gospel and speak up the truth of the love of God in Christ. And Lord, we pray that you would just enable us to be bold like Jesus and confident, but also sacrificial in our love and compassion for others, Lord. We pray for this now in Jesus' name. Amen. Why don't we stand and let's express our love for him as we behold him and look to him again.